Meet Sven. He's very excited right now. Sven doesn't play poker, but he's still very excited. You see, Sven is a dealer for Porsche, and he's just found out that PokerStars players earn $7.5 million in VIP points every month. And with our all-inclusive program, that's enough to redeem 5 of the lovely pieces of German engineering every day. Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to leave other schemes, well, out of commission. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Annie Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's April 10th, 2009, and you're listening to the best poker podcast on the internet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
And I don't want to talk about it.
I think you're talking about
it. I said I don't want to talk about it.
But before we start, it's Fan Appreciation Week.
Yes, it is. Unbelievable. We found out this week from a fan, of course,
yes,
that this is our 200th episode. Now, there's a little bit of contention here. We don't really know if it's actually our 200th because we had this like little transitional show that was like 2 minutes long.
It counts.
Does it count?
It counts.
All right, then it's our 200th episode. Woo! And we're really excited about it. So that's our main topic today. We're going to dedicate to our great fans.
So lots of cool fan stuff in the main topic, but Apes is part of the full
I don't want to talk about it.
Fan appreciation, and I think people do want to talk about it.
Yeah, okay.
So first of all, congrats to last night's event number 3 winner in stud, Rice F88. It's his second banana. And you probably knew that, though, because...
I'm not congratulating him. let me just go on the record, okay? He is appropriately named Rice because what Rice does is it sucks all the water into it. That's exactly what he did. He sucks out so bad. He is the suck-out king. He sucked out to win his first banana against me heads up in Raz. And then last night, he sucked out so many times that he'll never win another hand of poker for as long as he lives. Unbelievable. You know, I had him dead to a diamond on 7th Street, and of course he hits it, stays alive, cripples me, and then, I mean, he's all in so many times at my table. I mean, it was like he kept rebuying, but he didn't. I don't know how he did it. But, of course, I'm happy for him. Congratulations. And if I had to lose my money to anyone, you got to be happy about winning, you know, giving your money over to a retiring colonel. He retires today. He's been in the
U.S. Army for 21 years,
and he's retiring today. So congratulations.
Pilot, public affairs officer.
Do you think that
country well?
Do you think that along with his medals on his Class A uniform, he can hold a banana?
Banana will be there?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we need to come up with a U.S. Army official banana
medal.
Medal.
Or at least put some sort of fastening thing on the plastic banana we're going to mail him so he can put it on his dress uniform.
What's that on your uniform? Is that a banana? but no, congratulations, Rice. And he's been a long-time listener, too, so we love the fact that not only... is he a great soldier for our country, but a long-time listener. And he took out Potty Train Me.
Very nice.
Which is making a good run towards Burns My Toast as my favorite online name in the Antioch Nation now. Potty Train Me. Very good.
Oh, my God. So, Scott, if we were doing a mockumentary or of like Wayne's World,
right,
I would
right,
be
right.
over here bowing down to you and saying, I am not worthy. I do not know how you do it. But you know what? I was not surprised by it. Last night, I look over at the standings, and you're at like 2,700, and I'm in the top 5, and I'm like, oh my God, Scott, what happened to Scott? And then, boom, you're like at 605 or something, it was 600, and you're in last place. And that right then, my wife said to me, hey, how you doing? And I said, oh, I'm in like top 5, top 10. And she goes, how's Scott doing? And I said, he's in last. Something must have happened on the last hand. And I said, but don't count him out, because for some reason, every time he's in last, that just has the poker god say, no, we can't have this. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're back. And not only were you back, but you overtook me, and then I got out in like 2 hands, and you ended up cashing.
Woohoo!
Remarkable.
Yeah, I took a, I don't know if it was a bad beat, but it was just a hand that didn't get there. Off of Rice, actually. He crippled me.
Of course he did.
And then, but I got him back, because I got it all in when I was down to, I thought it was 650, but I think somebody else told me it was 605, so I'm going to go with 605.
Yeah, I think it was 605.
And I got in with another listener and doubled up with my two pair, and then I got it all in on the next hand against Rice. and a five-card boat. You got it like that.
Oh, my God.
So I actually sucked out on the suck-out king.
I was so happy.
That's a lot of sucking.
I was so happy the way I played, and I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to do something. And then Zirka Board on my left's like, hey, did you guys ever settle who actually made the first cash? And I was like, well, I'm playing in a tournament that I didn't pay for. I said, but it wasn't really an Apes event, so I guess no one's cashed yet. He says, well, we won't have to worry about that tonight. And I was like, I'm not hearing that, pal, because don't tell me that I've already cashed, because I can blow it, believe me. And sure enough, I blew it, and then you cashed, so... Yeah,
and I believe Rant wanted, he was a little fuzzy still on which of us was the first to cash.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
But what he suggested to settle the bet was that I should take out all the money that I've won in Apes this year and put it on the studio table, and that you should take out all the money from your wallet that you won in Apes this year, and we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
Now, also, we off on Fan Appreciation Week. I feel bad that we screwed a whole section of our fan base unintentionally. Unintentionally.
I don't like that word.
Unintentionally?
No, screwed.
Oh, screwed. Yeah. No, well, I don't really like it either, but I feel bad. And of course, this is what you get when you've got an agnostic podcast host that doesn't have the
you crazy agnostic.
World religious calendars in front of him when he plans Apes. And last night was the first night of Passover.
Mm-hmm.
So. All of our Jewish friends who care more about their faith than Apes, as they probably should, probably were not playing. But we got a little friendly rousing. I hope it was friendly.
Yeah, it was friendly.
From Michael Cantor. And I'm hoping that all the rest of our Jewish listeners who were not able to play Apes last night were having as good a time as he had planned, drinking wine and chocolate-covered matzo balls.
It's true, too. That's what he was having, right?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yep.
That's what he said. So,
all right, so let's move on to our next free roll.
Mm-hmm.
April 29th, Limit Hold'em, and it will be event number 4 is May 13th.
Yeah, we've got an extra week this month, so it's an extra week of Ante Up Poker Night on PokerStars.
Excellent.
Every Wednesday night, so even though we have an event, just show up and play, have some fun. And Limit Hold'em, I gotta tell you, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna ride the rush.
I'm sure you are. I'm sure you're gonna be in last place again, and then suck out, and then make it all the way to the top, and... I'll have someone suck out on me and go all the way to the bottom.
And I'm sure you'll go out early and then go to the cash tables and make all your money back like you normally do. And, yeah. You know, but it depends. It depends whether you're going to be a donk or not at the cash table.
You know, last night I did it because I can't stand playing for that long and have nothing to show for it.
Right.
So I couldn't sign off. So I went online and I played heads up against somebody and... I actually won more money last night than Rice did in Apes, so that made me feel pretty good. I played a guy heads up and doubled up, but that's the only way I could do it. I can't sit at the table for that long and not make money.
Yeah.
So I have to go play cash games. Of course, when I lose on those nights, that's when I go on tilt and lose my whole bankroll. But at least last night it didn't turn out that way.
And then it probably drives you down into the penny 2 cent games, right?
Yeah, but you know, I have a question about those games, because I was playing them last week. You know, I was trying to come back from my my skid, and I've been doing well. I've been working at the lower levels. But I was fooling around and playing at the 1 cent, 2 cent table, and I gotta tell you, it's the $5 max buy-in on Stars, right?
Yeah.
So we're all playing there.
Someday we'll get better laws that allow bigger buy-ins online.
But I was experimenting, you know, I was trying some stuff out. I was trying multi-tabling and everything, and we're playing No Limit Hold'em, 1 cent and 2 cent, $5 max, and this guy at the table is berating this other guy. He would not stop, and he kept calling him a donk. You're a donk. You're a donkey. Only a donkey makes a call like that. Only a donk. And I said, I typed in, it's $5 buy-in, 1 2 cent, 2 cent. Aren't we all donkeys here? I mean, really? I mean, aren't we all donkeys, Scott? If you're listening to this show and you play 1 cent, 2 cent, you have no right to... badger someone at the table for making a bad call. Obviously, if they're playing at that levels, they're not professional players. Right. Obviously, they're learning. And if you're so good and you can't stand playing against these people, don't just... Oh, man, it pissed me off.
Oh, nothing gets me... butters my toast more than hearing the same thing. It's, you know, if you're unhappy with the quality of play at that level, then move up.
Exactly.
And if you can't afford to move up, then guess what? You probably don't deserve to move up.
Move up or shut up. That's the slogan.
Oh, that's a new... Yeah, we're going to put it on a t-shirt.
Move up or shut up. I mean, I could not believe... And the things he was saying, and I'm thinking, buddy, you're down $3 at this table. How good can you be?
Yeah,
shut up.
You know, I generally hate the chat anyhow, because no matter what limit, there's going to be some Nimrod that's doing this. And I don't go online just to to be berated or watch other people be berated.
I know.
And so it's just not fun. And particularly, you're right, when you're at a penny 2 cents, you're learning the game, so
exactly. Give me a break, man. Give me a break. And after I typed that in, he left. So I wanted to see if you would come back at me and get me off, because I'm like, dude, I'll
get off my lawn, you kids!
Anyway, so that was pretty funny, and you've been playing a lot online too.
Yeah, actually, you know, here's the thing: I've got a reputation with the nation, I think, right, for being a bubble boy. Getting so close to the money and then falling off the cliffhanger ledge with nothing to show for me.
But you're doing your best.
I think now I've progressed to stage B in my poker career of just barely cashing, just making it over the wall, and then getting shot by the guards.
Yep.
So I got 14th last night in Staples. Or Staples.
Staples? Did we play at the Staples Center last night?
Yeah.
In LA? Is that where we were? Staples?
Well, we will now.
Or is that, lead singer or some rock band? Scott Staples?
So I got 14th in Apes.
Right.
Which was two inside the bubble. All right. So not much of the show there. But I played two of these scoop tournaments. You know, PokerStars has been running this great poker series, the Spring Championship of Online Poker, but it's Scoop.
Scoop.
Kind of like it.
Yeah. They give you ice cream if you win the whole thing.
That would be awesome.
A year supply of... No, I'm just kidding. Don't.
But, you know, the great thing is that they broke it into three weight classes, as like to call it. You know, a low level and mid level and a high level. And, of course, I'm decidedly a low level donk.
Right.
And so I played in two. I've only got to play two just because our schedule hasn't worked out. But I've cashed in both.
That's awesome.
I'm 2-0 in scoop.
These fields were daunting, too, weren't they?
Yeah, I think the first one was pot limit 08, and it had like 7,000 plus. and I finished 968th in cash, and I've never finished 968th in my life in anything. And
and got rewarded for it, I know.
And then I played pot limit 5-card draw.
That was cool.
You know, my original game when I was growing up.
And you were bluffing your butt off, as you were telling me. And, too, I think you said something, we were going back and forth a little bit about this. You said something about, you know, what's it like to play in a tournament with that many people or something.
Yes,
I was like,
Scott,
I did it live at the series.
But, yeah, so for my 47 hours of effort on these two tournaments and cashing, I think my bankroll is up a tidy... $6.14.
Hey, that's enough to get you into the next Apes, because you're not going to get in the free roll.
I can overbuy in the $5 penny and 2 cent game. Free roll, very nice. But Zorag was railing on me, and you know, part of Fan Appreciation Week is letting the fans rip on the host. And so I was listening to this clip. I'm assuming it came from somewhere on the road with this rig.
Good job cashing, Scott, but you got to stop getting in those damn pots. Being weak on the turn or calling a weak bet on the turn and then folding on the river. You got to make up your mind to either take it or go away. Ugh, I was yelling at you so many times today. All right, good job, Cash. And I forgot about that damn thing I wanted to play, so no last longer bet. I'll get you on the next Omaha High-Low event.
Yeah, Zorag, I know. I'm a little wuss, and that's what I need to work on. But it's tough to bluff an Omaha 8, I think.
Oh, yeah.
But if there's a low on the board, because people can call with all kinds of things. So.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
my only defense,
I
but agree. I need to work on it.
I agree. No, I agree with Zorag.
Now, I have 114 coins from my last cash at the pot limit 5-card draw.
Silly audience, segues are for kids. This is a terrible segue. I don't know how to get into this one, but I got to tell you.
But
last
you've
night,
got a big coin,
well, cause
right?
I got a big coin, because last night it only solidified... this coined phrase that I have. Do you remember a long time ago when we came up with Big Chick? My dad came up with it, and I was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
I got reminded, not that I'm knocking your dad down, that he did not come up with it.
He did not come with it, I know. And AJ Benson.
But we'll let him have his moment.
Yeah. Well, I think that I've coined one here, and it came
to
me.
Are you sure this time?
No, yeah, it came to me by mistake, just like a lot of the greatest inventions in the world do. You
like
know,
most of your pots, too.
You know, like, let's see, NutraSweet. NutraSweet, Equal, those things, those came by mistake. They were actually trying to make some sort of like nuclear thing. Anyway, so this is what happened. I'm playing in a game, and this guy, I'm like way ahead of this guy. I have like, I don't know what it was, I had like two pair, and he went runner-runner to he rivered to straight on me.
Okay.
He rivered it, but he was a wicked dog, right?
All right.
So I go to type in rivered, and I made a typo, and I typed rovered.
Rovered.
And he was a dog in the hand.
Yeah.
And he beat me on the river. So from now on, when a dog beats you on the river, it's called rovered.
Awesome.
I was rovered last night about a million times by Rice and the gang.
Wow. That is gonna definitely gonna be on a t-shirt.
All right, we got that up. I was rovered. Because, I mean, there's no way someone's come up with rovered before. A dog that beat you on the river is a rovered. And that's what happened to me. I typed in rovered by accident, looked at it, and laughed, and then said, I'm not going to send this because I don't want anybody else saying it. So I kept it. I fixed it up and put rivered. But rovered, man.
Rovered is an official trademark of Antioch Publishing LLC. Right. Always reserved. Sorry, our lottery makes me say that.
So first I have all my children, and now I have rovered. So,
very good, very good. I'm glad you're putting creative your creative juices to work for the business here.
Yeah, we still haven't sold a t-shirt yet, have we? I don't know.
No, we sold about three. Maybe.
Oh, all right, yeah, we're rich. Three. Go buy the t-shirts.
And don't wait for the rovered one.
Yeah, no, no, no.
Go buy a hot sell. We're only going to make five of those available.
All right, let's go on to the AnyUp News Desk.
Party Gaming PLC, the publicly traded parent of website Party Gaming, said it would pay the U.S. government $105 million over 3 years as part of a non-prosecution agreement it recently reached with the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York, according to the Washington Post. The payment will settle charges that Party Poker illegally offered gambling to players in the United States and may set up the site to be a player in the U.S. market again when and if the U.S. government regulates online poker.
So basically, it's kind of like the Catholic Church here, in that they tell you you're going to hell for marrying someone who is not Catholic, but if you pay $700 and get it annulled by the Pope, then all is okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Same kind of thing here, right? All we wanted was money from you. Now that we've got $105 million coming in for no reason at all, you guys could be clean in our eyes.
Yeah,
it's bull.
Yeah, well, hey,
that's how I feel. Sorry.
All right, the Florida House has unveiled its gambling plan, and it raises bet limits to $50, buy-ins to $1,000, and expands hours to 24 hours a day. The South Florida Sun Sentinel reports.
Woo! That's huge for us, man.
This is huge.
Huge news.
And again, for folks that don't really follow Florida, here's the thing we talked about on the show last week. The Florida Senate, way pro-gambling. They want to give everything. They want to bring gambling that's not even here into the state.
So this is the least that
the House... hates all gambling, doesn't want to do anything. So the fact that now that they push this out, which is far more than I ever need.
Yeah, me too.
As much as I like no restrictions, this is going to keep me settled for years.
Yeah.
And this is the bottom rung of it.
Yep.
Assuming that the whole House goes along with it. But that's
because if they're willing to do that, then we're going to get something out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
The only concern now is whether or not they can get it done before the session's over.
I think something has to happen. So
yeah,
but and then we'll see.
Sweet, very sweet,
excellent. The World Series of Poker's Gaming Life Expo has been renamed Poker Palooza 2009 this year, and shifts its focus back to poker. Exhibitors will be organized by type this year, and special areas including the Lapa Luxury and Prop Bets will be set up.
So we're going to be a couple of Poker Palookas at the Poker Palooza. Because you and I are going to be there for that.
Well, I'm glad they came up with an original name. Nothing's been Palooza.
Yeah, no, I never heard of that before.
In a couple years. But but yeah, they started out doing... It was a cool thing, from what I understand, back before they kicked all the online sites out. And then the last couple years when we've gone, it's been kind of lame because they've gone for this Gaming Life Expo and bring in, Sapphire Gentlemen's Club and bass boats and stuff. And now it's going back to poker. So
Excellent.
Very sad news. Casey Reese, the 20-year-old son of the late poker great Chip Reese, passed away Monday night of an apparent drug overdose, according to Bluff Magazine. The star baseball player was said to be struggling to deal with his father's untimely death.
It's really bad. I heard that Chow Jang, who's real good friends with him, had gone down to the poker room to play, but just couldn't do it. And ended up, he was just breaking down and going home. And that's just unbelievable. That poor family.
It sounded like he has so much to live for, too. It's just so much to get past those demons.
Oh, man.
And finally, in news of the weird, a St. Petersburg man was minding his own business, Chris, just sitting at home.
For our Russian listeners, that's St. Petersburg, Florida.
Yes, that's true. That's true. That's true. We should qualify that, yes.
And, hey, Boris, don't
yeah, in the next,
don't confuse it.
And the next free roll is coming up in a couple weeks. St. Petersburg man was minding his own business, playing online poker in his house, when an SUV that missed a turn crashed through the front of the home, pushed many of his belongings into the backyard pool. Thankfully, injuries were minor. That would have been a bad beat.
Yeah, but they severed his connection, and he had pocket aces at the time. So he's suing for for the winnings.
He probably got back on in time for the time bank. But wow, can you imagine that? You're just sitting there, and maybe that's the government's new way of cracking down on online poker. Just send.
We should find the guy's house and drive by and take a photo and put it in the magazine.
Ooh, yes.
That would be cool. Here's why you should play in Florida poker rooms. Because if you're playing poker online, they'll get you. That's what we should put out there. They'll get you. Oh, man. All right, so I hear the hotline ringing. The phone number for that is 813-448-1120. And again, if Scott likes what you have to say and puts it on the show, we'll spin the wheel and give you something pretty.
Now, it's Fan Appreciation Week, and obviously we've been trying to share the swag a little bit. But, you know, we got some longtime listeners that sent some stuff in, and this is one of them. And we kind of got this BS and AS before swag shelf and after swag shelf thing going on.
Yeah, I hope that's what that means.
And today's caller, Big Guru, was in the, I'm sure he's got swag sometime in the past, but not since we started the swag show. So let's see what he has to say today.
I just wanted to say that I've been playing some of those Matrix tournaments on Full Tilt, where you play four games at once. And a couple months ago, when I started, I used to kill them. And now I'm pretty much getting killed. And so either I'm not playing as well, or I think more likely, the fish should stop playing. What do you think?
I didn't even know they still existed, to be honest.
That's very good. We generally don't even recognize online rooms that don't recognize us. But, you know, here's my guess, is that, like everything, when it first starts out, there's a bunch of people filling their way out.
Yeah.
And it's got to get in when the getting's good, right?
Yeah.
And then eventually people figure out how to play them, and then it looks like it's tougher.
That's,
it probably is actually tougher.
That's probably a perfect... analysis of the situation, Scott.
Wow.
You're perfect. A genius.
Thank you.
I can't imagine it being any other thing than that. Beautiful, beautiful analysis. All right, so let's spin the wheel and see what he wins.
Hey, Big Guru, send us your address, and we will send you a lovely t-shirt from donkeygear.net. We have about four of them left, so I don't know what the catchy, cool Donkey Gear saying is on this one. But, you know, actually, we'll got a couple left, so send us your size, too. I might even be able to size it correctly.
Hmm.
No promises.
Yeah, give us your first, second, third, and fourth choices of size.
Right. As long as they're all small, 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 and small. No, I'm joking. So send our address to podcast@antiupmagazine.com, and we'll get some swag out, and call the hotline, everyone else, and we'll get you on another show.
All right, I got the mailbag this week, because I think
excellent.
I answered this
all right,
one.
Very good.
This is from Chris Sawyer in Mokena, Illinois, and he says, how do you deal with a player who goes all in every hand in a play money rebuy tournament? So I think what I said to him, and I'm pretty sure I answered this one, either someone else sent a very similar letter, but... really, there's only so much you can do, especially in a play money tournament, but you just have to wait for a good hand, I mean, and take a chance, especially since it's a rebuy tournament. I mean, a lot of people have different strategies about rebuys. They like to, they think they're going to outplay the whole table. They like to keep rebuying themselves and get a lot of chips on the table. But in a play tournament, I highly doubt that that's probably the situation here.
Yep.
So, if you're going to enter one of these things, I think, first of all, don't enter them. Rebuys are, you know, bad enough, but rebuy play tournaments, I mean, these guys could have billions of dollars to play with, so you're never going to get them to fold. So you better just pick and choose a really good hand and hope you double up and then ride through the rebuy period. That's what I would do, especially in a play tournament. That's
yeah, I think my first suggestion would be what you said, is not to play a play money rebuy. And of course, his letter actually said he accidentally got into it, so he didn't willfully get into a rebuy tournament. But second, yeah, I think I might just sit back, and if I get aces or kings, I'm pushing. If not, I'm just going to sit there and let the blinds go by and wait till the rebuy period's on and get out of this whole craziness.
And
try to play.
To be honest, I would probably even loosen up even more than that. I'd do ace, king, queens, jacks, tens, anything like that. Anything decent, ace, queen, I would call, because obviously he's not going to wake up with a hand better than that when the one time you get it, so...
Ah, very good point.
I would loosen up, but really, yeah, don't... Just do your favor and... Self a favor and, be careful with what you sign up for, because that's something you don't want to be in. Believe me.
All right, spin the wheel. Chris, I don't know if this will help you with play money rebuy tournaments, but it should help you somehow. You got a wonderful set of Texas Hold'em strategy cards from greatpokerhands.com. So ship us your address, and we'll get those lovely cards out, and you can use those in your next Play Money Rebuy tournament.
All right, let's solve a mystery today.
Greetings, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another one-minute mystery, the case of the Golden Push Monkey. It's very late in an online 34K, and out of 1,000-plus players, there are only about 110 or so left. We are in the money, and we have 12K in chips, but it's been a long road.
Well, what a way to start the day. Is there any coffee around here?
Unfortunately for us, the average stack has risen to 40K, as so many players have been knocked out since the bubble. In this hand, blinds are 800 and 1600. There's a 200 ante, and we're in the small blind. So we're already in for 900. It's been a very aggressive table, and then suddenly a fundamental shift. After three folds, one of the stacks of 43K limps. And the stack right behind him limps. And after the cutoff folds, the button simply calls the 1600. It's at this point I look down at six of hearts, two of diamonds in the small blind. Very uncharacteristically, I'm going to call. It's half a bet. There's 5-to-1 pot odds. But don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with folding here. The big blind checks, and we're going to have five players see a flop.
We are proceeding with caution.
I stare at the nearly 10,000 in chips in the pot as the flop comes down two of spades, five of spades, six of spades. Well, Mr. Two Pair, what are you going to do?
As we talked a lot about this last week, and I've always gone broke in this situation numerous times. So, you know, we talked so much about it last week. Let's just see what happens.
Welcome back. Let me ask you this. What is the argument against just shoving here? Sure, if somebody limped in with two spades, we are dead. But more than likely, there is junk out there and somebody with one spade. There's nearly 10K in the pot, and I have a meager 19.5 left. Taking down this pot would put me at nearly at 30K, still not average, but well on my way.
Sometimes the answer is the obvious one.
I'll tell you one thing for sure. If I don't bet here, and I was ahead, I lose the hand. I mean, what can I do? Call a bet and then fold on the turn when the fourth spade comes? That seems to be a bigger losing play than just folding now. And if you check here and someone bets, you can be sure that, one, they're not going to get away, so you're probably better check raising, and two, if they check behind you, you give everybody a free spade draw. Now, my money's going in. Two folds, the button calls.
That spells trouble, sir.
And he flips over jack of spades, nine of spades. Well, it turned out bad, but I stand by the decision. Until next time, this is Columbo reminding you that if you play a hand for two pair or better and you get the two pair, you better be ready to go to the wall.
Remember Sven, our friendly Poker Stars Porsche dealer? Sven's still very excited. He already knows that Poker Stars players together earn enough VIP points to redeem five Porsches every day. What's made him a little more excited is the fact that five of our Poker Stars players have already claimed these lovely pieces of German engineering. Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to have left all the other schemes, well, stuck in neutral. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
All right, it's our main topic, and as we said at the top of the show, Fan Appreciation Week.
Fan Appreciation Week, baby.
You know, I feel really bad. It's taken us 200 episodes to really have a Fan Appreciation Week.
But did we?
Apparently, we're not appreciating our fans enough.
I think we've dedicated shows to the fans before. I even think like mailbags are kind of like that too. They're dedicated.
Well, I'm not saying
to
we haven't done anything for our fans, but you know, to actually designate, you know, sort of like Natural Plant a Tree Week or something. Even though you take care of your trees all along and plant trees throughout the year, it means something specialer.
Specialer. Did you say specialer?
When you designate an entire week for it.
All right, this entire week, this entire main topic is the first time we've ever done it. In honor of our 200th episode, we are dedicating this show to our fans and letting them drive the action.
And, of course, it all was an impetus from an email from our fan, Jay Herkey, longtime listener.
Yep.
who reminded us we're coming up on the 200th show, and said he seemed to remember a 3 or 4 hour 100th episode, and he's expecting a 6 to 8 hour 200th episode, and then eventually it'll be a 24-hour marathon. Probably not going to be able to satisfy that request.
No, I got to go to sleep soon, so I don't think that's going to happen. Although I'm sure that we've put a few people to sleep ourselves in the past. So if you go to sleep right now and wake up tomorrow morning, then it would be like a 24-hour show.
Yes.
But no, to be honest, we didn't plan something like that. And it's not that we didn't really know that 200 episode was coming, but we do know that our four-year anniversary is probably a bigger milestone.
Yeah, that's
us.
A good question for the nation. What's more important now, the actual
the numbers
numeral or the actual yearage?
The year. Because, I mean, you know, another thing, too, is that it's staggered enough that, you know, every 100th episode or so, we're going to keep falling backward into time until we meet the two again.
Yeah, so we're going to need a leap show.
Yeah,
a
leap show. Oh, man. But, yeah, let's do listener appreciation with clips today. I think we've got a lot of clips.
Yeah, we got a couple.
People called in.
And, you know, the hotline's always ringing, but every once in a while, there's a clip that just doesn't do well on the hotline, not only because we have that very strict one-minute limit, but also sometimes our folks like to play around with that great audio-visual editing equipment they have in their home and send us a edited clip.
Do you think that the new Florida House's limits will extend our one-minute clip?
Ah, that's a good point.
Probably not.
I did not see that in the bill.
I don't think they have jurisdiction. Yeah, I didn't see it in the bill.
I'll have to check with our Antioch lobbyists to find out what they're doing. But this first clip actually sent in via email from Veneer, who I'm told is Canadian.
That's how my teeth need to be.
Ah, yes. Veneers. Very good. He was at my table last night, but he sent us in actually two clips. One that I think he realized we would never make the light of day on the show. And then he fortunately edited one down to what he calls a G-rated version. I'm saying it's more like Red Dawn PG-13. Let's go ahead and listen to that.
Unstoppable. This next podcast asked me not to read this, but God damn it, I'm going to read it anyway, because I wrote it, and it's the truth. I fucking love this
podcast.
They are the best
podcast
ever, period. Ladies and gentlemen,
any.
Hey, what's up? Me and Scott wrote this 5 minutes ago. It's called Master Exploder.
You know, I always like when people weave in movie clips and little snippets from the podcast.
Yeah.
Make us look like we're movie stars when we're not really even podcast stars.
One of my favorites was back when they did Faso's tirades and made them.
Yes,
that was really good, too. I love those edited.
In my life!
Well, you know, we also are going to be topical because we have some hotline clips from last week's show.
Exactly. These aren't even ones that are collecting dust.
Yeah, no.
These are
just
fresh.
We are totally appreciative that you sent these in, fans, so we're going to play them. So this first one is from my friend Lauren, who lives in Manhattan, and he likes to tell me, you know, how to play poker.
And, you know, before we listen to this clip, too, I think we've been lacking. We never announced this on the show, I don't believe, but Lauren was a model on the Today Show this year. He actually got the hungout.
There's no stunned silence right there.
He got the hangout in the green room.
Wow.
And modeled, I believe, with sport coats.
Was there
a fine job?
Was there like a YouTube video of that?
I'm sure there's evidence.
I think there was. I think I remember this now. It's starting to come back to me.
All right, let's listen to this clip though.
Hey guys, it's Lauren calling from New York, and I'm listening to the show as I walk to work. And I just listened to Chris Grant on how the old man he was playing with said he was easy to read. And Chris was for some reason very upset by this. Chris, you think it all wrong. You want them to think you're easy to read, as long as they're reading you wrong. Anyway, keep up the good work, and I'll catch you guys later.
See, yes, Chris, you should
yes.
want them.
I didn't say I didn't want them, though. That was a thing. I just
quit whining.
I wondered what was so readable when you check in the dark. You know what I'm saying? And then I raised them. You know what I mean? It's like I checked in the dark, and then he couldn't tell me what I had. So, yeah, I know I don't want them to read me properly. I just, yeah, you're right, Lauren. I know you're right. You're always right. But I didn't say that I didn't want him to read me. I'm just saying it was weird. I check in the dark, and he says, oh, this guy is so easy to read. I check dark. What'd you read? You know? So, I don't know. But, yeah, I agree. I agree. You don't want them. You want them thinking they're reading you properly, and they're not, which they weren't. So that was cool.
All right, one more clip from our good friend Brian from Chicago. And he's also responding to something from last week's show. Let's take a listen to that.
Hi, this is Brian in Chicago. Hello, Andy of Nation. I'm just calling about the team poker concept. The Dream Team tournament just recently finished in Las Vegas, and I don't like the concept at all. Poker has enough problems with cheating, and the team concept seems to promote that. They do have rules that teammates cannot be at the same table until the final table, but you don't want to encourage the team skill involved. And eventually there'll be a tournament where two team members are at the same table and collusion will and must naturally occur. Just calling to see what the Andy Up Nation thinks about the team poker concept. I, for one, don't like it. So I want to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
Doesn't like team tournaments. You know what? And I agree with him.
You don't like team tournaments?
And that is why that you and I have put our heads together.
That's right.
And came up with what we think is the first team tournament that we've ever seen that completely eliminates collusion.
100% eliminates collusion.
Absolutely. And hopefully that will be launching that in the fall here in Florida. So if you don't live in Florida, well, you know, hey get on a plane, come down here and play.
That's right, fly down.
But, you know, the Dream Team tournaments, I give them credit. I mean, they got closer to getting rid of that collusion, but they just couldn't get rid of it. So yeah. I don't disagree with what Brian's saying. But I think our concept, coming this fall, will be much better.
We are way smarter than the Dream Team. Way smarter.
All right, and then one more thing from last week. We have no clips here, but we threw this gauntlet out when our listeners wrote in wanting to know, you know, hey, when you go to a play, you tell the cast, hey, break a leg. And everybody chuckles because it's so clever. But he wanted to know what the poker equivalent was. And so here's the thing, Chris. Normally we would just collect all the suggestions that our fans listed or sent to us and picked our favorite and fake spun the swag wheel and gave them a predetermined gift. But no, it's Fan Appreciation Week. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to list all the nominations. I will not, however, list the names of the people making the nominations. This is not high school prom queen, all right?
No popularity contest.
Exactly. You got to win on your merits of your actual performance, not how big you are.
Oh,
right. Man. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to post this poll on our forum at antiupmagazine.com/forum. Go there, vote, and next Thursday, whenever I get out of bed and actually start driving to the studio,
tell you
I'll check and see. So you don't know exactly when it's kind of like, elections in like Zimbabwe or something. So, but here we go. I'm going to announce our nominations and then, of course, go to vote on the forum. The first one, Get Rivered.
Mm.
See, now.
Now it's Get Rovered.
Maybe I'll add Get Rovered in there. But people will know where that came from. All right, so Get Rivered is the first one. Bust a Nut.
Nice.
Probably, not so great for the kids out there.
No.
But it works on two levels.
Right? Yeah.
Suck Out.
Yeah, that's that one had to be nominated by Fred Rice.
No, I think he just he picked up the mantle and was running with.
Yeah, he just lives by it. That's right.
The next one, Donk It Up.
Donk It Up.
Probably by somebody that frequents the Penny 2 cent games. next one, I'm not making any judgments here, but Live Cards. I think it kind of needs an extra word there, some kind of a subject job, like a Chris and Me or something. Right?
Oh, man. So those are the choices?
No, we got one more. And yeah. The last one, Ace is Cracked.
I can see your mind is, you're imagining someone saying it to you that way. Because you're saying exactly the same every time. Ace is Cracked. Get Rivered. Bust a Nut. Everything is exactly the same. I can tell you're like listening to Laura say it to you right now as you're doing this. That's exactly what you're doing.
No, I'm saying like,
I know. Like
break
someone
a leg.
Break a leg. I know. That's what I mean.
No one had ever gone.
You can envision someone saying it to you that way.
Do a good job up there. Break a leg. That never happens. All right, so go to the forum and vote. And, the other great thing over the course of the years is meeting all of our listeners. We talk about this on the show an awful lot. But, we've got like five meetup opportunities coming up.
Yeah.
Or at least to reflect upon.
Yeah.
And Of course, we love when folks actually come all the way here to Tampa because it's easier on us, right?
Absolutely.
We don't actually get in the car or charge the company 55.8 cents a mile for gas or anything like that. And this Monday, Mega Contributor, that's my new nickname for him, Mega Contributor Zorag rolled his big old rig into Tampa, parked it at Tampa Bay Downs.
On the road again.
Yeah, he even got a ticket.
He did? He got a ticket?
Because the truck was ugly, it said. It took up a couple spots. Yeah, it was terrible. Go to the foreman and catch up on that story. But he came in Monday, and so we played Metamore to Tampa Bay Downs, and Pabu showed up too, and we played a little 50-cent dollar no-limit hold'em and carved up that game and then went to a tournament, and I did not carve up that tournament.
No.
But Pabu made the final table.
That's cool.
But here's the thing. I walked in. I told Zorig to text me when he got to town, and he did. And I'm like, all right, I'm finished with my work. I'll show up in a little bit. I was coming up in the elevator, you know, and I'm like, you know what? Should I call him and say, hey, I'm coming up, and, you know, where are you at? And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to have any problem at all finding Zorak. I got out of the elevator, I turned my head to the right, I turned my head to the left, and I saw a beaming mohawk with orange and green on it. And I walked over and I'm like, hey, Zorak, how's it going, buddy?
Yeah, I had a feeling that would be that would definitely not be a problem for you.
Yep.
And even all of his photos that he puts online and stuff, just completely, you know... You just know who he is. He's like, you know, he's like Cher. You can't not recognize him.
And he let me sign his Andy Up Nation shirt, too, a bright green one. Pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah, so definitely buy those bright green shirts. They're awesome.
How'd you sign it? With like a...
Yeah, a little Sharpie. It's pretty
Sharpie.
Awesome.
Oh, pretty cool.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta like when they come to us, man. That's a lot better. But sometimes we go to them. Of course, I've gone to Connecticut a few times and played at JLB Sox, Jason's game.
Right.
And I've met people at Foxwoods as well. Met him there at Foxwoods. Met a lot of other listeners there as well. So, but, you know, Jason wants to know, he sent in a clip, wants to know if it's ethical to say, I have the Cosenza, and then not tell people what that means.
Yep. Let's listen to that clip.
Hey, guys. Jason from Connecticut, JLB Sox. I have an ethical question for people. I was playing a multi-table tournament at Mohegan Sun with my brother-in-law, Ben, and he was in the big blind. And I was in kind of late position, and I raised and just took down the blinds. And he, everybody folded, and I just yelled over to him, Cosenza. And he said, oh, you had me beat. And the guy next to him says, well, what did he have? And Ben just shook his head and said, I don't know. So my question was, is that unethical, calling out a Cosenza, when not everybody should knows it, or should the guy have known what a Cosenza was? Anyway, looking forward to your response. Bye.
Now, this is a good point. This is almost like English only at the table, right? If you got like these pet names that people don't know, it's almost the same thing, is it not?
I guess. I mean, no.
No, you don't think so.
I don't think so.
No. You're gonna play around with me there. I mean, no.
There are so many nicknames. There's so many hands. You know, Queen Three is the San Francisco busboy. You know, I mean, no one's gonna. You know, if you don't keep track of all the names,
well, that's true. But some of those are probably more widely. This is like, if you don't listen to Andy Up, you don't know what that Cosenza is.
I take offense to that. I think that everyone knows now.
You resemble that remark.
I think it's big enough now. Somebody told me that at the Foxwoods once that happened, where a guy said, I got the Cosenza. No, somebody showed Ace 10, and he says, oh, you got the Cosenza. And someone else said, you listen to Andy Up? So that was pretty cool at the same table. So it's working its way around.
All right, here's the thing. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say it's unethical not to say that.
But it's illegal.
But I am going to say that it's deeply, deeply hurtful to me that they did not both go, hey, here's an opportunity to say, Ace 10, that's the favorite hand of Chris Cosenza, host of the world's best Andy Up Poker podcast. Listen every Friday. And, you know, pimp for us a little bit.
That's what you need to
Apparently, they did not do that.
So this is not fan appreciation anymore now. This is, you know.
What have you done for me lately?
Morphed into something totally different. Well, now, you know, I've gone to Connecticut.
Right.
And you've gone to Chicago.
Yep.
And you're going back again.
Yep.
So another meetup. This is just remarkable.
Yeah, exactly. Last time I was there, it was like in the dead of winter. There was ice on the river. I've never seen ice on a river. It scared me. we had a great little hanging out, Billy Goat drinking. We did not play any cards, though. But this time, hopefully, we're going to put some cards in. And Mark from Chicago called in, and he wants to know some details. Let's listen to that clip.
All right.
Hey, guys. Looking forward to your trip to Chicago later this year. I heard you were looking for a good home game or... you might want to look into the new improved Harrah's Horseshoe Casino, which has a Vegas-style poker room, very nice, all-new casino in Hammond, Indiana, which is about 20 minutes south of Chicago. And if interested, a good home game, probably 3-4-table tournament going in Downers Grove. Maybe we can make it a 5- or 6-table tournament. This is Mark from Chicago. Be well.
Well, Mark, you're in luck, because all you have to do is go to antiupmagazine.com/forum. You're catching the trend here going on, right?
Yep. Just go to the forum. Everyone. For everything.
There's a great thread there. And Chicago Joe, I met him at Billy Goat last time. Great guy. Works at the Chicago Tribune. And he's in pretty thick with these folks at Main Event Charity Games up there. They run a bunch of big charity tournaments in Chicago. And he has done an absolutely fantastic job, Chris, in setting up a Main Event Charity Tournament for Antiup Nationals. It's not exclusive to us, but we're all going to be playing in that. And they televise some of these, and
yeah, cool.
This tournament might actually be one of them that makes the cut to be televised.
So we can watch you bubble in 3D.
Exactly. Absolutely. High definition.
High definition.
So here, very quickly, the details. The tournament will be at 7 p.m. on May 16th at the Cactus Bar and Grill, 404 South Wells in Chicago, IL. Go to maineventcharitygames.com and you can register there. Right now, Joe says the buy-in is $150. I think a couple of people kind of at it, so he's working to see whether we can get that down a little bit. But if not, hopefully we'll get a home game going after that. And if not, just hang out with some drinks.
Remember we used to make fun of everybody in Jersey because they always had to have Jersey in their names?
Yes,
Is that a prerequisite for Chicago, too? Chicago Mark, Chicago Joe, Chicago Jason, Chicago Mike.
You know, oddly, I don't make fun of the Chicago people, but I do make fun of the Jersey people. Apparently, I'm a Jerseyist.
You're an anti-Jerseyite. Yet another opportunity to hook up with us, this time on the high seas. And, it's a great big family, and I'm really, obviously we're going to have more details soon because you and I are going to the boat.
Yep.
To see it and to plan out our poker room and what's going to happen and stuff. August 20th to the 24th, we're going from Tampa to Cozumel, and, it's just $359. If you didn't book already,
yep,
you missed that $309 because we've gotten more than our 10 people, so we're on our way, man. Everything's going well.
$359, still a bargain.
And, of course, it's double occupancy. But if you go to antiupmagazine.com/cruise, you'll see all the details. And if you want to be in this cruise, you have to book through Mary Kolb at Go Travel Orlando. Our phone number is 727-733-3498. And I'm pretty excited about it. I think that it's starting to take off, and it's still only the beginning of April.
Yeah,
so.
Yep, we're going to have a lot of good stuff. And then, like I said, once we do that ship inspection, hopefully by the May 1st show, we'll have all those needling questions you guys have been asking us about games and rakes and things like that. And there's also information on the, what's that thing we have, the forum?
Forum?
Have we mentioned that yet this week?
I don't think so.
Okay.
AntiupMagazine.com/forum. There's stuff on the cruise there, too. A lot of people asking questions there, and you're making a lot of answers for them, so... anything you have to know, first check there, and then if you don't see your answer, then ask. But you know what? The big news, Vegas, baby.
That's right.
We are going to Vegas together again.
Here's the thing. I've heard this before. One of the poker managers around here told us that you don't go duck hunting where there aren't ducks. And you kind of like, if you want to find poker players, you need to go where poker players are.
Yeah.
And poker players normally are in Vegas, right? Mm. Definitely during the World Series. And we're going.
We're going,
again,
baby.
Last year off, but I'm glad you're coming back this year with me.
Yeah, you know, I needed a year off from the snoring. This year I get another whole week of snoring, and I need to build up my energy to be able to stay up for 146 hours straight without going to sleep. But no, we're going July 1st to the 7th. Very excited about being out there with you again. And what I really want to know is, who will I piss off this year?
Now, here's what I want to know. Why you say who will you piss off, not how many people will you piss off. I like the ballsiness of you thinking that you're only going to piss off one person this year.
Hey, I only pissed off Faso, and he got over it pretty quick, so we were cool. But I'm going to try to win with grace when I'm out there.
Yep.
And I'm going to try to lose with grace. Unless I'm playing Faso. If he happens to show up, I'm going to have to piss him off again.
Yeah, that sounds like another good t-shirt. Win with grace, lose with grace. But yeah, and good news for the Antiup company. I mean, we won't spend a lot of time on this because it's good news for us, not really for anybody else. But
right.
We got an amazing deal both on our car and our hotel.
The hotel was just really remarkable.
So here's a little tip. It's nothing that we did special. I just called up and gave him my Total Rewards card, and Imperial Palace gave us 5 free nights.
Unbelievable.
And I heard somebody else got the same thing at the Rio. Of course, he was a little bit a better player than I am. But
yeah.
But definitely, yeah, if you're going to book, definitely call one of the Harris properties before you book anything.
That is awesome.
Give them a total rewards card.
Comp.
Say, hey,
comp,
I want the Andy up free night deal. But when we get, we're going to be hanging out at the Rio, of course, for the World Series where it's at in the media room and then doing interviews and stuff there. We may be at the Poker Palooza. We'll find out. But we'll definitely plan some kind of meetup. And this year, people are going to show up, Chris.
I think so.
We're gonna plan it a little better.
We're right around the main event too, or the start of the main event. Yep, whereas last year we were kind of like that, but we were like heading out. Now all these guys are going to be in town watching their favorite players, and so I think that we might get a decent showing. Maybe we'll do the same Binion's thing again.
Yeah, cool. Let's check out the new Binion's room. The new remade one. See whether the dealers are still the same.
See if they're still fighting at the Omaha 8 table like they were last time.
Or where they still deal Juarez with.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
But once again, there's a thread started on AnnieUpMagazine.com/forum.
I think they're starting to get pissed off now. Last time we have to mention it. Because if we say it again, and Blasman's going to bitch about it somehow on the forum. So, oh, did I say forum? Sorry.
All right, our final part of our fan appreciation week is listener interaction. And, of course, you know, we love when people email us, and you can do that at podcast@annieupmagazine.com or call the hotline. Again, that's 813-448-1120. But there's lots of other ways people can participate. And we have a free e-newsletter every Friday goes out.
Yep.
Free. Doesn't cost you anything.
No, nothing.
Yep. And, of course, people call us up. But we also now are getting a little more serious about the whole social networking thing that these kids are into.
Yeah, the MySpace.
Yeah, we've had MySpace for a long time. You've handled that.
Facebook for a while now.
And Facebook is getting better. It's a little easier for me to update. So if you're on Facebook, check out the there, and you get updates from me every day. And then this week, Chris, God help me, I signed up for Twitter.
Yeah, I you know, people all of a sudden think it's this new great thing, but Twitter's been around for like 2.5 years or so. You know, I mean, even Lauren does Twitter. So, I mean, you know, it's been out there. So I don't know what the big deal is, but if you want to latch on to it like you did with Facebook and everything else, go right ahead and tell them what you're eating for lunch that day. It's fantastic.
And we are at Anti Up Magazine is our little Twitter thing. And I'm starting a little couple tweets about apes. I'm getting a little better at
okay.
it. But check that out. And then we also joined My Poker Facebook. It's a Florida-based social networking site that kind of combines all this. And a couple other Anti-Up Nationals are already on there. So
cool. Very cool.
You never know who you're going to find there. But links to all this stuff will be on our website. And, of course, they're always on that F word, the form.
This is Lee Childs, 2007 main event, 7th place finisher, and you are listening to Anti-Up.
Another longtime listener makes the hand of the week this week, Chris. And this hand I've been holding on to for quite a while. Not because I've just been waiting for the best spot. I've just been waiting till a time I need it. this comes from Gap Band.
Robert Grieco.
Yep, he goes by Gap Band. And
is he related to Richard Grieco, you think?
Maybe.
Richard Grieco.
Is he on 21 Jump Street?
21 Jump Street?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe it's the same guy.
Well, yeah. Alias.
You know, we got some celebrities out there listening to the show. He claims this is the craziest PLO hand he's ever played. Of course, we can't dispute that because we've never watched all the Pot Limit Omaha hands he's played.
You know what? Just real quick, Scott, I have to interrupt here. I'm writing a column next month in our June issue about the craziest PLO hand that's ever happened.
Wow.
Ever. Okay, and if you didn't watch the Aussie Millions Cash Game Invitational, you missed it. Try to catch it on reruns.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a hand between Andrew Roble and Patrick Antonius that will go down in history as the most amazing statistical anomaly ever.
Wow.
Ever in televised
poker.
Those
are big words.
I'm writing a whole column about it. It was that amazing. So I'm not going to bring it up on the show here unless somebody asks me to, then I might. But if they missed it and they can catch it again, be sure to do that because you won't believe what happens. All right, so let's move on to this hand, which can pale in comparison to this one, but whatever.
We'd appreciate the fan.
That's right.
All right, this is a $1, $2 Omaha Pot Limit ring game on Poker Stars, home of apes.
Man, you're just a plug-in machine today.
Well, you know, hey, I scratch backs.
Man.
All right. Our hero here, Gap Band, has 291 buckaroos in front of him. And he is second in chips at this table. There's some guy with 500, another guy that's right with him at 290, and everybody else is under 100.
I just want to go on record to say that I suck at PLO. So don't take anything you're about to hear seriously. Do not attempt this at home. Because whenever I play the 8-game mixed, I make money. And then when it gets to PLO, I lose it all back. I make money. So really, I don't really anticipate me giving good advice here. Maybe I should read the hand. I'm terrible at this game, man.
All right, here we go. Our hero is dealt the King of Spades, Ace of Spades, Three of Hearts, Four of Spades, and he's under the gun. Chris, what do? Besides suck at PLO.
Limp. We've talked about this on the show a million times. BLO raising here is not going to help, and it's not even a hand yet. And you got three spades, and you got some wheel cards, you got some Broadway cards, you got the nut flush draw card. Limp. Because you can't put enough money to get anybody out anyway.
I'm going to also say that you are completely justified in folding this hand as well.
Oh, yeah, no, but I mean, obviously we're playing the hand.
Right.
If I say fold, the hand's over and it's done, but if we're going to play this hand, we're going to limp. And you could easily fold it, but there's a lot of hands that you can make the nuts on, so.
Yeah, you know, I really don't like this hand under the gun. If this is high-low, I would love this hand, but it's high only.
Yeah.
I don't like the wheel cards. I don't know that wheel straight is really going to hold up that often in PLO. Obviously, the nuts straight and the ace-king are good, but, you know, you never know what's going to get behind you. If this gets raised a lot, I don't know whether you can call.
Yeah, no, I agree. But if I'm going to play it, I have to limp. Obviously can't raise this hand.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I've got $291 in front of me. I think I can afford $2. And if it gets too hot and heavy before the flop, then I can get away from it.
Right.
All right. So our hero calls. We get three folds, another call. And then we get raised $4 to $6. One more fold. And from the small blind, the big blind calls, and it comes back to us.
Yeah, so you know, we were talking about limping or getting away from it, so it could be a reason to get away from it. I mean, it's a lot of money in there. You got your pot odds, I guess. But I don't know. I wouldn't even think about getting away from it now.
Yeah, you know, I've got a terrible reputation for being tight. and that's what Rice was brutalizing me in apes with last night. But here's the thing. It's too easy to get sucked into these hands now because, like, oh my God, there's so much money in there now. But the problem I see is you've got more people still to act after you, and if you had somebody that was
being trickery.
Yes, and trying to do that kind of limp and then re-raise, somebody raise, then you're going to be screwed, and then you're giving away $4. So I think I'm done with this hand.
Yeah.
Not too tight.
We didn't even want to play the hand, really, but if we were going to play, we wanted to play for the minimum. Now all of a sudden I'm playing for $6, which would have been a huge raise if you could have made that raise, which you couldn't because of pot limit, but. Yeah, no. I'd get away from the hand here, really. I mean, I have no reason to play this hand. I'm only going to get in trouble.
Okay. Well, of course, this is the hand of the week, so it's not going to end right now. He calls. The remaining players call as well, too. And about 47 people see a flop of 5 of spades, 2 of spades, jack of clubs.
Yeah, we're in trouble now. Because we're going to have to play this hand, and we're going to have to probably stand some heat with it. Somebody could have a set easily of jacks here. And we have the nut flush draw, and we have even what seems to be the wrap wheel here. So
Here's the thing. Had I known pre-flop that this was going to be the flop, I would definitely be in. even though this is a hand that is going to make it take a ball peen hammer to your head.
Yeah, it's going to break your heart, I have a feeling, because he said it was amazing. So because
you got like 4 gazillion outs here and 2 cards to come, which means the odds are you will not get there. Because the odds say you should get there. All right, so the big blind checks, and we are first to act. What will you do with this massive redraw?
Well, I mean,
I guess it's just a draw. We don't have anything right now, so it can't be really a redraw.
I guess we're hoping the guy behind us had aces, so I would bet pot or close to pot, like $18, something like that. You know, because if I'm going to play the hand, I'm going to play it the way I'm supposed to play it. So I guess I'd bet like $18 and on the come.
Okay. Our hero bets $20.05. I'm guessing that's pot at
this
point.
Must be pot, yeah, okay.
Unless he's one of those people that actually annoyingly types out increments of cents just to tick people off.
The only thing I might consider a check raise here, because of the strength behind me and all the callers, I might consider a check raise. But then again, you're looking at this guy has a set. you know, you're going to have to hit your hand, and you're going to be getting a lot of money in there. So we'll see what happens. But I might consider a check raise.
That's a good point, because here's the thing. I'm thinking the guy raised, so there's probably going to be a bet here. So why not let somebody bet, keep the pot controlled, and because you want to get money in here because you're hoping you hit your hand and get paid off, and you're not going to get paid off as much if you hit. But if you know somebody else is going to do the betting, I don't know if I want to open it up to somebody re-raising a bunch and then being stuck for a lot, even though I've got a massive draw.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think I still check raise, though. I don't think I just check call. I think I check raise here. I think that I have so many outs, and I want this guy to, especially if he has aces, I want him to put in his bet with aces and then punish him, and then he'll think I either have a set or a massive draw and get away from it, and then you get extra money. But I don't know. Either way, I don't think you can go wrong with betting out or check raising. But I don't like to check call. I don't want to control the size of this pot. I want it to be a big pot. You know, it's pot limit, and I've got a lot of money. And a lot of
massive draws. So, you're right. Okay. The next player calls and is folded around, including the preflop raiser.
Oh, okay, so you're heads up anyway.
Yep.
Well, that's good.
All right, so we're heads up. The turn is the 10 of clubs.
More outs for us.
So, yeah, so let's take a stock here. We're looking for any queen, any ace, any three, any four, and any of the remaining spades that aren't any of those.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of outs.
That's a lot of cards.
It's about like 97 outs.
That's like seven decks. I think we have seven decks to hit.
And we are first to act, and I'm guessing we're not going to check and get a free card here, right? We're going to
get
some money in.
I don't think I'll check. I mean, sounds like this. I don't know what this guy has behind us, but if he said it was a weird hand, too, so you got to take that into consideration. What could be a weird or amazing hand here just heads up, so...
Yeah, the crazy thing is you might think somebody has a flop. I mean, a flop to set, and I guess maybe it could be fives or deuces. Because I would think if you flopped a set of jacks, that you would be re-raising on the flop to punish a draws. Unless you had a good redraw, but we have the best redraw, so...
The only thing I could think of is maybe this guy's on a kind of a draw, too. And that's why he's calling, and he's got, like, the second nut draw. Or no, not that, because even the king of spades is in your hand. So I really don't know. But if he says it's amazing, I wonder if it's going to be, like, ace-king wins. You know what I mean? So you have to take that into consideration, too, because that would make it amazing. So I really don't know what our player here has.
Okay, I'm putting him on a set of fives or deuces is what I'm putting him on. And obviously we have a lot of outs to beat that.
Okay.
All right, so our hero bets out $23, much less than the pot.
That's about right, though. I would bet about that much. You don't want to get too involved in this hand. You can't get away from it. You still don't have a hand, you know. But you want to build a pot and defend. That's sort of a defensive bet. I kind of like that.
All right. Well, interestingly, you say you want to be able to get away from this hand because our opponent raises $114.10. Total bet now is $137.10, of which, of course, we have the 23 in.
Wow.
This is why people love and this is why people hate Pot Limit Omaha.
Well, I guess it gets back to pot odds. Are you getting enough on this to get paid off on the end? Is this guy all in? I can't remember.
No, he is not.
Yeah, I mean, he can't have much left because if we had 291 and we're one of the chip leaders, this guy can't have much left. So,
yeah, this is the guy that had just a dollar less than us at the start. So.
Oh, wow. Jeez. Well, we have so many draws. I'm just going to put the guy all in. I mean, I guess I can get away from it, but I have a feeling we're going to hit something here on the end because we have every straight draw possible, plus a flush draw nuts to all these hands.
All right, so you could re-raise all in rather than just call. Now,
yeah, because how much am I going to have left?
Well, that's true. I mean, I think we will have, I can tell you exactly, we'll have $128.60 left. And I'm not disagreeing with the fact that, you know, you're going to get all in anyhow. But I guess my point is we know we're behind, so we can just call here. And then see what happens on the river.
So if we call, how much do we have left?
$128.60.
Yeah, so all right. If that's what we'd have left, I probably would call. I was thinking that it was more than that. I was thinking 20, 20, 40.
Because here's the thing. 46. Why put that extra $128 in if you end up missing your draw?
Yeah, okay. No, I would call.
Because you don't have a hand right now.
I would probably call. I was thinking that it was less than that. I was thinking the guy didn't have that much left. I forgot that it was that. That's still a decent stack.
Because we're not going to get this guy to lay it down, unless he's completely bluffing, and I can't imagine.
Yeah, no. Okay, so I would just call. I was thinking that he had less than that and, you know, like $40 left or something. Yeah. If you'd have $130 left after this, if you called, I would probably call and hope I hit my gazillion outs. Okay. Yeah, I was doing the math in my head. It wasn't right, but it's hard not to see it in front of me.
Yep. All right. The river is the four of hearts.
All right. So that gives us the wheel.
Yep. We hit one of the hands.
All right, so
not
that's
the nuts,
good.
But second nuts, right?
Second nuts. There's no flush, no nuts.
And
so.
You know, this guy's got some wicked other cards in his hand. Can feel pretty confident, especially with the pot size now.
Yeah, I mean, could he really have been raising with Jack-Jack 3-6 in his hand? Right? Because that would be the better hand, so that would be the nuts.
I mean, I guess there's a point here where you could just check and... But second nuts,
and the way the hand was played, you can't put him on 3-6 in his hand.
I mean, I guess you could check and assume that this guy's going to bet his set, if he has a set, and you're going to get the money in anyway. But that's kind of ridiculous. You're going to get the money in anyhow. Might as well put it in, right?
Yeah, I mean, if he has 3-6, more power to him. And he may end up having 3-6 because of the way he built his hand up. But otherwise, right now, it's not that weird of a hand. So he must have 3-6 to make it an amazing hand.
All right, so, obviously we push all in for 128.60. Our hero calls. He's a little shy of that, obviously, 126.95. So we get $1.65 back.
Awesome.
In case we're wrong. All right, showdown, we show our straight ace to five. Our opponent mucks his hand.
Oh, man. Well, that wasn't too surprising.
$596.20 pot for a gap band here.
Wow.
Very nice.
Well, what the hell does this guy have?
Our opponent had jack of spades, jack of diamonds, two of clubs, six of diamonds.
All right, so there you go. It was the set that you didn't think, you wondered why the guy didn't raise. Yeah. So it was kind of weird the way he played it. He didn't repop it.
Very weak play,
yeah,
I think.
Weak top set like that with no draw, really.
I mean, he ultimately got all his money in anyhow, so why not drive it when you have that?
Yeah, he had no redraw, kind of, so I can't imagine.
Six. Yeah, I mean, I guess he picked up a straight draw on the turn, right, maybe?
No.
No, he actually didn't. No, the turn
was a 10 of clubs.
Yep.
So basically, this guy had no redraw except to a boat, and one of his outs were in his hand for the boat. So, I mean, I could see why he played it the way he did afterward.
Yep.
But in the beginning, he should have popped it. Wow. Remarkable. Well, not really remarkable. Just the guy played like crap. But let me tell you, the hand on Aussie Millions blows this one away. Okay? You won't believe the hand on the Aussie Millions Cash Game Invitational. You have to watch it. Well, I want to take this time to thank the fans.
Let's give one of our fans some swag before you thank them.
No, but I want to take this time to thank our fans for giving us hands of the week like this. I want to thank, I'm thanking Gap Band here for giving us these hands of the week, because a lot of people really like this part of the show, and it really, without the fans, we'd have to come up with our own hands, and we're just not interested.
In the early days, we were taking hands off World Poker Tour and then coming up with our lame-ass hands.
So, just as part of Fan Appreciation Week, we really do appreciate you guys sending them to us, asking for our advice, even though it sucks half the time, and just contributing to the show like that. And it's just the hand of the week is one of the better segments, and people really appreciate the analysis and the strategy and see how all the people play their hands, and I just appreciate it. But I wasn't moving on or anything.
I know.
I just wanted to thank them, but you interrupted that, so
yeah,
I'm gonna spin the wheel now because you're such a slave driver.
Robert, 21 Jump Street, Gap Band, Greco, you win a nuts card protector from PokerFaces.tv that will hold your money at the table from now on, so you don't get excited about getting it all in before you have the nuts.
Awesome.
Get the nuts? Nuts card
protector. I get it. Yep. I get it. Absolutely awesome. Bust a nut.
And if you'd like to be featured on the Hand of the Week, send your lovely hand with as much detail as possible to podcast@annieupmagazine.com.
And that's it.
Lovely Fan Appreciation Week.
Don't mention the forum again.
Okay, I will not mention annieupmagazine.com/forum anymore on this show.
I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
And we'll see you at the tables.
Annie Up is a production of annieupmagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@annieupmagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@annieupmagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.